Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy Naughty Nige here with my esteemed co-host, Mr. Mod, aka Mr. Kick Up the Arse. How you doing this evening, bro?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Feeling good again.
Yeah. Last result put a smile back on your face.
Yeah, it did. Don't get me wrong. It was a bit of squeaky bum time as But overall, yeah, I'm smiling.
Oh, good to hear, man. Good to hear. Well, look, man, let's jump straight into it, man. I think just given the previous two results, my attitude coming into, I don't know about you, Mod, but my attitude coming into this game was I didn't really care how we played. Just give me the 3 points. I was ready to take a scrappy, you know, bumbled over the line 1-0 win just because we're at the point where we could have kind of gone into, I don't want to say recession, but, you know, that horrible November-December period where we just lost our game after game and just really sapped our confidence. I think just from a confidence perspective, we needed 3 points. So the performance was a bonus, which we'll get into. But yeah, that was kind of my attitude coming into the game. What, before the game, Mod, talk to me, where were you at? What were kind of going into the game? What were your expectations? What were your thoughts?
Well, similar to you, I was, you know, hoping and praying that we'll get 3 points. And Leeds are one of those sides where, you know, they can be anyone on their day. They're just a dogged outfit. They just don't give up. But at the same time, I was quietly confident because they give you chances. Mm. They play the kind of football that really would help us to sort of have a little bit more freedom up front. And so, you know, for me, I was looking at this game. I think I said, you know, in our WhatsApp group earlier on in the week, that ideally I wanted to see Emile Smith Rowe and Ødegaard start the game, you know, with Saka and Oba. And yeah, I was really, really pleasantly surprised to see the lineup and to see that Arteta had shaken off his George Graham tag and decided to go a little bit more Arsene Wenger. So yeah, it was really, really, really good to see. So yeah, I was really, really pleased and thinking, well, we could potentially be in for a goal fest.
Similar thoughts to myself. My thing is with Arsenal, I think you can often tell within the first 10, 15 minutes what kind of energy levels or what kind of input levels in terms of intensity you're going to get from Arsenal over this game. And I think from the beginning, you could see that, yeah, Arteta, whatever the pre-match speech was, wherever he threw on, you know, Al Pacino any given Sunday or whatever the motivation was, it worked because the guys came out just from a pure effort and desire level. They came out the blocks firing. You know, we were winning, you know, if we weren't winning the second ball, we were fighting for the third ball. We were pressing really well. We were closing the passing lanes or the crossing angles down really well. So, you know, just wasn't really giving them much chance to use their greatest strengths, which I think personally is something Arteta doesn't get enough credit for as a manager, nullifying opposition strengths. Mm. It's, yes, we conceded two sloppy goals and yes, we've made some absolute howler of defensive errors on an individual basis. But as a team collectively, I think, you know, we still conceded the second least amount of goals after Man City in the league. So yeah, Clearly he's doing something right, which is something I've massively bought into, especially when we was going through that that period of losses after loss earlier in the season. You know, we always still had a level of defensive solidarity about us, which I haven't seen at Arsenal in some time. So yeah, back to the performance. I thought, first 10, 15 minutes we were up for it. Leeds were a team that always going to run a lot, always going to press a lot, always going to hound a lot, and I think we probably struggled to find the channels in the first opening passage. But as the game kind of wore on and it opened up, we kept our pass and movement at a high tempo, and the reality is they just couldn't live with us. Oba with an excellent hat trick, and I don't know about you, Martin, and how high of a pedestal you put him on. I know some members of our esteemed asylum don't rate the young gentleman as highly, but I'm ready to stand on this pedestal. I'm ready to say I think Saka's a young Mane. I was looking at him, and I was just, in terms of the physicality, the close control, just his tenacity. I saw shades of the esteemed Liverpool winger in him. What about you, am I shooting too high there? Tell me, am I off?
No, I mean, I definitely can see the comparisons. And as you know, I've been singing his praises for a while. I just think that, you know, I think Sky Sports put on the stat yesterday, and it was just like, you know, the top teenagers in the league. And like, he's head and shoulders above everyone. He's scored 5 goals. He's got God knows how many assists. You know, and I think the likes of James was in there, Hudson-Odoi, and a few others. But you know, no one is performing to his levels consistently at the moment. You know, he's one of the first knees on the team sheet. You know, fitness permitting with Tierney, but for Arsenal certainly, he's a key linchpin for Arteta at the moment. So yeah, I cannot sing his praises, you know, any more highly than I already have been in the past. And it's just great to see that he just seems to be going from strength to strength. And I noticed what you said about Mane, and I think where he's added to that this season is the physicality aspect of it. You know, not being afraid to get his body in there and, you know, and draw the foul as well. You know, he could have had 2 penalties yesterday. And some feel that he should have. I certainly feel, you know, the first one, I've seen them given on a regular basis. So I was a bit shocked with VAR calling that back. But hey, we got the second, which was a stonewall penalty.
Yeah, facts. And I'm certainly with you on that first penalty to your point. I'm not one of these Arsenal fans who were one to me. I do think we do get a lot of decisions go against us, but I feel every fan, every team probably feels that way. But that first penalty call, the fact that he slowed it down, went over to the monitor and still didn't see it as a penalty. The standard of refereeing, you know, not to go off on a tangent, I don't think VARs had the intention. I think many people thought it would, in terms of making things clear cut. You know, it's still a lot of decisions that you probably thought should, you know, you know, go your way. You know, still get misinterpreted for whatever reason. So, I was really lost by that first penalty call. But yeah, look, the second one was stonewall, and you know, just fantastic work rate by the young Arsenal player, and just a good all round performance, and a round of applause for. Sorry, go on.
I agree with the point that you're making about VAR and VAR. The element that of human error is still there, and that was what it was supposed to eradicate. But if you still got someone looking at the video cameras, and another ref putting their eyes on it, then it's open to their interpretation as well. And then as soon as they say, "Well, I interpret it this way," they're kind of putting pressure on the referee to see it that way. They're not going to say, oh, you got it wrong. And I felt that's what kind of happened yesterday.
I guess just moving on to another gentleman, who again, I don't think had an outstanding game by any stretch of the imagination, but another consistent good performance with an assist was Smith Rowe. I don't think it can be said enough just for how much he, even though he wasn't receiving the ball in those spaces, the first 25 minutes, you know, he wasn't, you know, it was never through a lack of effort. He'd make those runs again and again and again and again, and he'd always be willing to take a risk, always willing to try it. And not everything comes off, which is fine. You know, you'd rather someone try and take a risk and not execute, as long as they're doing it in the right part of the pitch, because, you know, that's how you get moments in football. So yeah, just a quiet round of applause for another good, consistent performance, which I think is key for someone at his age.
No doubt.
Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say no doubt. With ESR, I've totally in agreement. I think you need to take into consideration that he vacated his position yesterday, you know, for Ødegaard, to sort of play more centrally behind, you know, the front three, so to speak, and he moved out to the left predominantly, and kind of, you know, rotated a little bit, but, you know, in terms of him not being as involved in the game, I kind of put it down to that. As well as, you know, as we said before, his fitness and has got to be managed as well. And, you know, he I don't think he's played as much football, you know, in his career, really, at this kind of intense pace of a game every, you know, 3, 4, 5 days. I think this was the first time we've had a week off to prepare because of our cup exit. You know, so yeah, I definitely see it. But yeah, as I said, I think maybe the positional change might have had a little bit to play, you know, in his output. But as you say, still got the assist, right?
Which is, you know, all that matters at the end of the day. A name you touched on there, Mod, wanted to pick your brain and see what you thought on the, I guess, first start for the young Norwegian. How do you, I'll let you shoot on this one before I give my thoughts.
I mean, look, he's a talented kid, and you can see there were some lovely little touches in there, a few moments. But yeah, he didn't blow me away. It's his first, you know, game for us, first start. He hasn't had a lot of football since he returned to Real Madrid. So I think, you know, in the overall scheme of things, he did all right. It wasn't great, but he did all right. But what I did notice was, I think it gave us something that we've lacked. You know, those ball carriers, we've lacked in the side for quite a while. We were screaming out for those type of players. They were few and far between. But seeing, you know, Danny take the party position, and, you know, he can carry the ball forward and usually likes to go forward and not backwards with his, you know, passes and stuff. And then obviously seeing, you know, as we mentioned, ESR, Ødegaard, Saka, it just gave us a threat that we've been lacking. So yeah, I'd like to see more from him, I think, and hopefully I'd like to see him start more games. I was really, really, really happy with the lineup.
Yeah, just to add, I think he did what I kind of thought he would do, in terms of, you're right, just in terms of the level of football he's had, the intensity of the game. Not to say he was bad. I think he's, like you said, flashes, moments, but without really blowing anyone away. So I don't think he blew anyone away, but yeah, an adequate performance. What I am happy about is that, look, he doesn't look like the type of player who's going to come in and block ESR's path. ESR's still clearly going to be a pretty key figure for the team, but hopefully what it will do, you know, is maybe ease some of that creative burden, and maybe, you know, even free up space for guys like ESR. And yeah, our esteemed captain, I think it's, when I saw the name on the team sheet, I'm not going to lie, I had a bit of trepidation.
Going really?
Through what he, yeah, I'm not going to lie, Mods. Yeah, yeah. Just going through what he'd gone through personally, where he was coming into form before he took the break, but the season hasn't been the greatest for him. Not to say that I've lost faith in my guy, but yeah, man, I was a little nervous for him. It was a moment of pressure for him to perform, being up front, you know, leading the line, so to speak. You know, there's been a lot of debate about who's the better man for the job, Oba or Lacquerin. You know, if we're being honest, I think kind of Lacquerin certainly made the better case on a this season basis. So yeah, I definitely think he had a point to prove, and I think because I want Oba to do well, I was nervous for him for the game. But once he got going, I really appreciated that the first goal. Just the thinking behind it, the way that I think it was, I'm not going to say it was poor keeping. I think the keeper would have been disappointed, but I can understand why your body weight is shifting to left with Oba being Oba. So I think it was an intelligent finish. You know, the penalty was emphatic and a nice way to round off the hat trick. So more than anything, I'm just kind of happy to see him return to form. You know, I think with an in-form Oba, I don't think we finished top four. I think we narrowly miss it, but I think we give it a good fight. How do you feel? What were your thoughts on our captain's performance?
Yeah. So with Oba, I just felt vindicated, man. I just felt, you know, I'm so happy that he scored. You know, this narrative that he's turned into a bad forward or bad player overnight, you know, a bad striker overnight is completely ridiculous. All strikers go for a barren spell at some stage. And he had his reasons. I mean, he had his personal reasons, but then he also had, you know, the issues with his mum's health and stuff like that. And, you know, these things happen. Players are human. But there was a wonderful article that I saw, and Sven Mintzslat, if I said his name right, I always get it wrong, had made some quotes and just said, look, this guy's been scoring throughout his whole career. You know, he can see why he's been made Arsenal captain, even though a lot of people can't, which is because of his positive attitude, his tenacity. He's always upbeat. He's always laughing. And that kind of stuff in the dressing room creates a real positive vibe. And on top of that, he performs. And he's very rarely injured as well. And these factors, you know, a lot of people don't see. And another thing Sven said, which was quite interesting, was he alluded to, you know, people make comments about his flashcards and him being into art and clothes and stuff like that. And he said, what you don't realise is the young players love that. They feed off that. And you know, to them that makes him a larger than life character and things that they aspire to be. And the fact that he's professional and he gives 110% and he works for the team in a way that people also don't give him credit for, because even when he wasn't scoring, his work rate was unbelievable, still impeccable. He was still trying to get back and defend and stuff like that and work for the team. And, you know, I just felt that he wasn't getting the credit that he deserved. He's always scored. He's one of the top strikers in the world right now. His record is up there with the best of them. I think he probably ranks seventh, I think, in terms of total European goals scored. I think Aguero is just ahead of him. And then above Aguero, the likes of Aguero, you know, I think Zlatan is behind him by one goal or two. So, you know, you look at the names, you know, above him, you're getting into Messi and Ronaldo territory. You know, there's not too many above him. And I think we've got to start to recognise that he's 30 years old now. We've got to make the team play to his strengths. We've got to create those chances. And like I said, that's what I really liked about the side yesterday. I thought, you know, well, basically, if he can't score now, then really we are in trouble. But yeah, I was glad to see that he banged three in the onion bag.
Yeah, man. Wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, flowers to Oba. Our two holding or two midfielders. Yeah, hats off to both of them. I thought they were both. Xhaka has and was very good. Has been very good. For a moment, and was very good again. Yesterday, Ceballos. You know, I'm very much. I've a standoffish. A stance with Danny. I think, you know, he has some positive attributes, but for me personally, when I look at the entirety of his Arsenal career, you know, there may be reasons for that: injury, change of managers, what have in and out of the team. I feel that he probably hasn't done enough for me to be screaming at Real Madrid's, you know, door, kicking down that we need this guy to make our a table push. He's going to be the guy who takes our midfield to another level. However,
20 million, would you? 20 million, if they said you can have him for 20 million, would you take him?
Oh yeah, for 20 million, I'd take him. But Real Madrid aren't going to ask for 20 million for Ceballos. As soon as you start hitting 35, 40, would you take him?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one because I like yourself, I've kind of looked at him at times and I thought, yeah, no, you know, I mean, we were saying on the early pods, I think both of us were saying, remember, that I think that the first game he had against Burnley.
There's a Dan game.
You know, he blew everyone away and everyone was like, oh my God, look at this player that we signed. And then we just didn't see that for like the rest of the season.
Or ever again.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, to be honest with you, we might have saw it in, I think, the FA Cup briefly last season towards the end.
Yeah, I'm being a little harsh. We have seen flashes of it.
But the consistency is not there, right?
Yeah, we're talking about, I'm sure if we really sat down and thought about it, you and I could probably spread the games over our fingers of the times at Sabah. And it's not because, you know, yes, there's been circumstance around it, but he's had the opportunity. So I'm not really going to buy into that he hasn't had the opportunity. However, all of that aside, looking at yesterday on an individual basis, yeah, playing wasn't too many touches. It was 1, 2, 3 touch at most. Ball was fizzed in where it needed to be. Weight of pass was good most of the time, looking forward when he could. And I think in partnership with Xhaka formed a very good pairing that took a while to get going. But I think first and foremost, they kind of earned the right to play. So, you know, Danny and Xhaka were putting themselves about. I don't know the interception stats off the top of my head, but I'd bet a pretty penny Danny had probably the most interceptions for Arsenal yesterday. He was just really everywhere from a defensive point of view. And once they kind of won that battle, you know, then they started to kind of play ball. And you know, both of them were certainly in the form to play ball yesterday. And again, like I said, not to. I think you and I both have a similar stance on Mr. Granit, you know, and have done for some time. He's just because of the errors he's made and the mistakes he's made. I kind of get it. He's always going to have a tarnished image for some, but Xhaka's quite, you know, despite the arrival of Partey, and I'm not saying he's a better player than Partey. Partey's obviously been injured. Xhaka has been our best midfielder since his season. What were your thoughts on Granit, if anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as always. I think Granit is, you know, he's one of those players that he divides opinion, but the fact of the matter is, I don't really think that people realise how highly he's sort of first and foremost by his teammates and people that play with him. They appreciate him a lot more than the average fan does. I also think that perhaps he's been, I don't know if he's been sort of labelled now, and it's very hard for people to change their opinions on him, despite the fact that he's putting in a consistent performance, you know, week in, week out. I think it's his second assist yesterday in three games, if I recall.
Yeah.
It's Wolves, maybe. And, you know, he's doing bits. He's doing bits, bruv. You know, so you can't deny that. I think even his most, you know, ardent haters out there can't you know, really moan too much. They might think long term he's still not the one, but certainly for us now, he's very, very important. Funny enough, another Asylumite, Jessica Black, we had a podcast, and I was listening to, there was a woman on there, I've forgotten her name now, but she was on there and she was just saying that she had met Xhaka on the Arsenal US tour, and just how it came across, how professional he was and how much respect he drew from his teammates. And I think, you know, as I said before, he's just become, you know, a bit of a linchpin that we can't do without. Long term, I do think it's him and Partey, and until someone else proves me wrong, I don't see it any other way. Briefly on Danny, before we move topics, I do think that Danny had an awesome game yesterday, and he also got an assist. And I'll welcome more performances like that.
Yeah, more of that, please, Danny. More of that. Leads me on to, I guess, just covering the final, I guess, the blemish on the game. Two sloppy goals to concede. So, you know, with defensive partnership, you know, with Gabriel coming back into, you know, playing himself back into form, I think the kind of questions popping up again, you know, who do you go with our main centre back pairing? And I know I saw I wasn't able to be get involved in the chat myself, but I saw the back and forth about Mari come, you know, when Mari's fit, you know, who do you play? And I'll be honest, it's not one I'm settled on, if I'm totally honest with you. I think for the confidence and, I guess, the consistency he's shown, I'd feel pretty harsh, you know, dropping Holding, despite me maybe thinking another player is better than him. You know, Holding's done very little wrong this season. So for me, it's a question of, is it Holding and Mari or is it Holding and Gabriel? If you were Arteta, you know, how would you play it? Would you kind of play Gabriel into form? Did you kind of rotate between Gabriel and Luis until Mari comes back? And when Mari comes back, what do you do? Yeah. What's your solution?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice problem to have. I kind of see why he played Luis and Gabriel yesterday. The most deadliest player at the moment for Leeds is Rafinha, and I just felt that he felt that maybe those two would be more familiar with him and could nullify him a little bit. And I think in the main it worked. I think Leeds are one of those sides where they're always going to keep coming at you. They're like a rabid dog. They just don't stay down. And the way that Bielsa has them playing, it just means that even if you're 4-0 up, they're not going to stop. Whereas other teams will just be like, oh, sorry, the game's done. They just don't. That's just not in their DNA. So I always expected them to score. Because, you know, at one point, I think they were playing two at the back, one in midfield and seven up front. Like, it's very hard. You know, only one or two things are going to happen. They're going to score, you're going to score another one, you know, and that's just the way that they play ball. So the fact that we conceded, I'm not really looking at it or holding against the team, because I think if we would have tried to sit back too much and try and soak up the pressure, it might have made things worse because we would have lost our own rhythm.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And just isn't that a cheeky point to you on the two left-footed centre-backs playing Mod, if you remember that debate.
I mean, Luis generally plays on the right now, though. So
yeah, you know, well, that's true.
I think more time. I would love to see Mari play. You know, we've discussed Mari and how he's just really, really smooth in the way he plays. It's almost like watching a vintage car. You know, it's just smooth. He kind of purrs. He very rarely makes mistakes. You know, I just like the way he sort of glides up and down the pitch. He's a very, very smooth customer. But you know, I just think we're in a great position right now. Luis, I hear, I'm not sure if it's true or not, but you may have heard it. Is he getting a new contract this summer?
Yeah, he will be. He'll be extending this summer, which I don't think should be a surprise to anyone, but other than our esteemed asylumite, Mr. Jason over there in the States. You know, I think...
11.
You know, I think, look, yeah, you know, we're all aware of Luis's faults, but to me, in totality, they don't outweigh the pros. And the pros are that this man is, you know, you keep hearing the message, that, you know, he's an influential player amongst the young guys. You know, you hear it from not only just Arteta, but other members of the squad. So, you know, clearly this guy has a lot of intangible, and I think tangible, you know, he's not a bad defender most of the time. I just accept that with Luis, you're going to get, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 high profile errors a season, which will probably send your blood boiling in that moment. But in totality, like, oh yeah, I'm absolutely fine with Luis staying. In terms of who I think is the best, sorry, let's cut you, Mod. I'm really undecided. I'm not opposed. Like I said, I know it doesn't happen, but I really do want to see a Gabriel Mari pairing. I just want to know what it looks like, whether it works or not. Fine, I'll hold my hands up and say, yeah, you know, the manager was right to not play two left-sided centre-backs. But I just think on paper, you know, there certainly are two best centre-backs, but that may not be the best pairing. So, but yeah, that's just a curiosity in me.
No, I agree with you. I do actually think that they probably are long-term until, you know, Saliba sorts himself out and just plays ball and puts all of this madness that's going around the press behind him. You know, not to talk too deeply about all of that, but I mean, he's certainly got some things that he needs to deal with right now. And I can't really see that Arteta will take him back in a hurry unless he feels that he's going to be a mature member of the squad. I mean, because we've got to face it, even the youngsters that are playing are mature. They're not immature, they're not silly kids. They've got their heads screwed on. And Arteta demands a certain amount of professionalism. there's no doubt that Saliba's a very talented footballer. I was watching him, you know, for the last three seasons. You know, I saw him play a lot with Fofana at St Etienne. I think I even mentioned on the early pods that I thought Fofana was a great player, and that, you know, before Leicester eventually snapped him up, you know, it would have been nice that we took that gamble. But, you know, we got Gabriel. I'm very happy with Gabriel as a player. But yeah, it will be nice to see Saliba fulfil his potential. But I guess it's very much watch his space. So until then, certainly for me, the top two are Mari and Gabriel, and I would not be upset in any shape, fashion, or form. I would welcome seeing those two start in a Premier League game.
Same. Here's a question to you, Mon. Do you think Mikel dislikes Martinelli?
No, I don't. I don't at all. I think Martinelli's got a lot of qualities that Arteta has openly spoke about. He's openly said, you know, his tenacity, the fact that he will run all day and never give up, the fact that he wants to play even when he's carrying an injury, he's willing to push through the pain barriers and X, Y, and Z, is something that he values. Martinez is a skillful player, and there's no doubt about it. You know, he's got the potential to be, you know, one of the next best Brazilian forwards. He's certainly, from what we've seen in glimpses, that I don't think is any question if he manages to maintain his trajectory. But the fact of the matter is, I think we have to take into consideration his injuries, and we have to take into consideration his age. And I think it has to be managed. It's very similar to, you know, the Smith Rowe thing when people were trying to call him in from before. And I was saying, look, you can't rush these things. Sometimes you just, because it could be worse. If they get, you know, something, another injury that can potentially be something that blights their career, that's it for them. You know, they'll just be very good players and not great players, or middle of the road players and not very good players. You know, that's the difference that it can make. So definitely, I do feel that he does respect him as a player. I do think he does like him as a player, but I just feel that he just can't count on him right now to be able to throw him into the lion's den and put his body on the line for the team. And I think that's where we're at right now as a club.
I think that's a fair, sensible assessment. I can't say I disagree with it for any particular reason. Other than I'm just curious just to how sparingly he's being used. But in saying that, you know, we all were questioning why isn't Partey completing 90 minutes, and lo and behold, look where we are. So, yeah, you're right. You know, these guys, especially coming back from a long-term injury in a season where you'll play more games than usual at the intensity that we do play, it makes more sense. But,
You remember that injury that he had? He picked up. He was starting. I can't remember what game it was. You'd have to refresh my memory. But he was in the starting 11, right? Might have been the United game, maybe.
The warm-up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then he got injured, and then the rumors were going around. You know, you heard them, I heard them, that he was potentially out for the rest of the season, or certainly, you know, a considerable few months. And then, lo and behold, he turned up two weeks later, and they're saying, you know, he's back to fitness, he's fit. My fear is that their fear is not to rush it. Because, as I said, he's got a reputation within the club for being one of those players that'll be just like, yeah, just give me a couple of pills and put a bit of spray on it and I'll be fine, I'll play through it. And that's what you don't want, you know?
You know, we as football fans, myself included, I'm guilty of it. Definitely have a case of short-termism, wanting everything now. But Yeah, if you're telling me that, you know, using Martinelli 15, 20 minutes here till the end of the season means we get a great player, well, potentially world-class player next season, then, you know, I'm all for it. Speaking of next season, Mod, wanted to kind of pick your brain. I know you've watched a few of his games.
Mm.
So do you think Guendouzi's got a future at the club?
Ooh, million-dollar question, man. I'm going to hit that back to you, and then I'm going to come back on it. So do you
think... hell no, is going to be my stance. And I guess, look, I'm coming from the angle that I probably don't have as much faith in him as a player as you do. I'm coming at it maybe from a different angle. And look, I haven't followed him as closely. I've watched him in a few times during his time over in Germany, and he's looked decent. So it's not, you know, I'm not against him coming back, but, you know, you hear the rumours again of him falling out with him. It just seems to be the same cycle. So, you know, there's no smoke without fire, and I just don't really want anything kind of jeopardising the seemingly harmonious team that we have at the moment, certainly on the face of it anyway. You know, we don't need any rotten eggs in our camp. So, yeah, my answer would be no. You know, you turn around and tell me, actually, Nigel, do you know what? Watching him more in depth, yeah, there is a real, real player in there, because, you know, you've said it many a time before, and I've been wrong. So unless I hear that kind of attitude, I'm ready to cash in. You know, give me the whatever he's worth. I'm sure we'll make how much did we pick him up for? 8 million from
it's about 2.5, I think.
2.5, sorry. From League Two, so, you know, we're not, whatever we do sell him, it will be a healthy profit, one of our better pieces of business. So I think we're at the stage now where we kind of need the right type of players, not just both on the field, but off it as well. You know, if we're going to have any chance of ever, you know, getting back into that top four consistently, we have to get everything right. We're not, you know, we can't drop a quarter of £1 billion on a new set of players, you know, every other summer. So, you know, every decision has to be right. So for me, it would be a no for those reasons. Unless you say, do you know what, Nige? Actually, he's been Zidane reincarnated out in Bundesliga.
No, I mean, look, I'm probably going to shock you here and say that I actually don't think he's got a future at the club.
Oh, wow.
Now, but it's not for footballing reasons.
Okay.
I think it's due to his personality, his attitude. I just think he's starting to get a bit of a reputation now, and it came with him before. He's had it at PSG. He had it at Lorient before? And then he's got it now with Berlin, Hertha Berlin. I think he was actually dropped the last game or benched, and he's been...
Yeah.
Consistent starter, or the last game I watched certainly, and it was because he basically had a tear up with one of the other players after one of the games, and he's got a reputation now. Also, I think they might have, or they are thinking of sacking the manager. I think they may have now, due to the recent run of form, and that manager was the one that really wanted to keep him. And so I've just got a funny feeling that a combination of that and also the price tag that Arsenal feel that, you know, he's worth, and he is worth it because he has been having some outstanding performances out there when I've watched him, you know, albeit not against, you know, the likes of the bigger teams, but he still has shone. So I just feel that Arsenal, A, will want a transfer fee that Hertha Berlin cannot provide. And then B, I think that his attitude and the way that what Arteta expects and the way that Arteta expects that his players behave and carry themselves is not in keeping with Guendouzi. I think he seems a bit hot-headed and a bit too immature.
Yeah, I think that's succinctly said, which is a shame, I guess, because, don't get me wrong, I've never had enough faith for him to, I don't think he was going to be a superstar, but he's definitely someone I could have seen value in having around. But yeah, we need everything in totality, and unfortunately, it just seems to be another story of a player's, you know, kind of getting in front of their potential. So looking forward, we've got two very, very big games coming up. Huge. I hate the term season defining, but it is a bit, isn't it?
Of course it is, man.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, I've never vocalised this, but I've got money on us to win the Europa League. This is from the beginning of the season.
You should have put it on then, because I think you would have got great odds. What were the odds, by the way?
I'd have to go back and check. They were very good. I haven't looked at it. I try not to think about it. Just because, look, you know, we are clearly a good cup team. I never thought we was going to do back-to-back FA Cups. But we always have a cheeky run, you know, when you look at our recent history. In one cup, and I think we've got good. When you look at who's in the Europa League, I don't think there's any team, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, that really stands out. And I think, oh, we've got no chance against them. Especially, you know, with the world in the way that it is, you know, no fans being a plus or negative depending on who you are. I've got a really good feeling in saying that. This is Arsenal. Benfica is not going to be any easy game by any stretch of the imagination. I don't even have predictions. I don't even want to make predictions. But if I have to, I'll go for a cheeky, scrappy Arsenal win. But I'll definitely take a draw if you offer me one. Maybe not a draw. A loss. I think a loss would just give us a big mountain to climb, which is a position I don't want to be in. As you can probably tell, I'm more nervous than anything. How are you feeling? What are your thoughts?
Europa League was what I was looking at. I never really thought we were going to challenge for the league. I was happy for, you know, a top six, top eight finish. I think really anything more than that is bloody great. And the way that the season's panned out, top four, five is doable. I mean, we could potentially get fifth, and if City win the Champions League, which I know that they're vying for, then we can go in Europe through the back door. But I've always looked at the Europa League as being our number one target this season. We are a cup team. And I just feel that, for me, it's got to be, you know, our main target. We've only two trophies that we could win this season. We certainly are not winning the Premier League. It's very much this. It's do or die, right? We don't want to add any more pressure to it. I do, and I have had a sneaky feeling that this could be our year. That being said, you know, they are not a bad side. Benfica are not a bad side at all. We can do anyone on our day if we have a good day, but we need to have two good days against them. I don't think we can play. I think we've got to be on the front foot, and I think we maybe have to think about, especially at home, playing the way that we did against Leeds.
Agree wholeheartedly. And I do hope we win that, because I'll be honest, more importantly, I don't see much chance of a victory in the following game. As good as I think we're getting, and as in terms of our results against the top six, an improvement under Arteta. Yeah, Man City have kind of, I've got that feeling they've kind of clicked into that gear, that title winning gear, where it doesn't really matter who you are or what you do. You're going to be on the receiving end. So you know what I hope for in that match is that we, we put up a good performance, good show of desire. And you know, if you offered me a draw, I'd certainly take one now. Don't know if you've got any quick predictions on the Man City game.
Nope. No, do you know what? I'll be happy with a draw.
Of course. Yeah.
I think right now I would accept a draw because they're in form. They clearly are the team to beat in the Premier League at the moment. Everything seems to be clicking, whereas at the beginning of the season it wasn't. So yeah, I mean, even without Aguero, they can still put together a side that can give most teams a bit of a hiding. We're without Partey, so we're not going to have that bit in midfield. So I kind of think that, and the thing is, their defense is playing well as well.
They're pretty unreal at the moment, bro.
Vitalized, just like, oh dear, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I'd take a draw. What about you, bro?
Yeah, there's no shame in that. I take a draw. Man City have a horrible habit of putting three past us, so I don't think, unfortunately, the tradition will be much different. So, I'll call it a scrappy 3-2 to City.
I was just about to say that, Nige. Yeah, 3-2, did you say?
Yeah, 3-2 to City, 3-2 to City.
I think it's going to be a basketball match, man.
Oh, please not. Well, look, I'll be on the next pod probably in a little bit more of a somber mood. But ladies and gentlemen, listeners, it's been a pleasure as always. Good to have you, Mod. Can't wait till we do this again. You've been listening to the Arsenal Asylum podcast. Please like, follow and subscribe to our Twitter at Arsenal Asylum and our Instagram at Arsenal Asylum podcast. Morty Nige and Mod at Pick Up the Arse signing out. Peace.